Luke chapter 16. I've been working on our church website lately, updating it. I've been uploading newer audio sermons. And you know, computers to me are very frustrating. I don't know about you. But when it comes to updating websites anyway, it can be trying. I worked on it one night trying to link the audio to the right page, and I thought I uploaded 15 sermons at the end of the night, only to find out that I had run out of space and none of them were connected. But in the new year, we'll resolve that problem, we'll get more space. But we do receive many visits on our website at our church, and I'm grateful for that. I'm a chaplain for two national veterans associations, and a lot of the veterans do go to our website and they listen to sermons and they browse around and visit our church through the internet. Today's technology is amazing. You can share God's word in so many places at so many times. It's really truly remarkable. But like some of my recent sermons, they're recorded but not delivered outside of our church yet. In Luke chapter 16, Luke 17, I was right the first time. See, those computers get me all frazzled. But let's stand, please, as we look at God's Word, Luke 16. We have also a message never delivered yet recorded in the Bible, Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. You know, for a lot of people, they think that's the end of the story. That's the end of life, but it isn't, is it? Verse 23 says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send them to my father's house. And here's the message that was recorded but never sent. Verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take this message this morning and bring it to our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Yes, Eliana, I'll tell you what, you can go down in about 10 minutes, and that way when you girls are ready, I'll be about done preaching, all right? And I'll meet you over here, all right? All right. But I was reading a recent poll in the newspaper, and when it hit the front pages of the newspaper, the liberal press in America loved passing it along. The report showed that our country was shifting in their values, and that secularism was gaining ground and that Christianity or Christians were losing the majority. The poll said that 1 in 5 Americans claim no religion at all, and that atheism was on the rise. This year, you may recall, in the presidential election, one party at the national convention tried to remove God from their platform. First time in our history that they tried to pull that off. But 1 in 5 Americans is about 13 million people that claim no religion in America. And that includes, in that 13 million, that includes the number of atheists and agnostics. But this shift, as they say, was primarily due to the younger generation, the 20s, those in their 20s and their 30s, make up this this new shift. You may believe polls or not. We don't know really how true polls really are, but it does tell us one thing, that there are many unsaved people in America today, amen, that are still lost, amen, and they still need the Lord Jesus Christ. They're still outside of His forgiveness, and they're still outside of the peace that God offers them, amen. And so in this passage, we read that a man dies. And keep in mind, this is a certain man. The Bible says a certain man. So, according to the Bible, this is not a parable. This is not a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. This is a real event. This is a certain man. When Jesus tells a parable, He comes right out front and says, this is a parable. Behold the parable, right, of the sower. Behold the parable. This is not a parable. This is a real story that happened. And so, this man dies lost, and he wakes up in hell, which according to the Bible is what happens to everyone that dies who is lost, who lives a life of being lost and dies in their sin. But there are many important messages given to us in the Bible. You know, we think about how God delivered a great message to Adam, and He promised him blessings if he would just not touch the one tree in all the garden. Everything would be fine. If you look at Genesis chapter 2 this morning, great message delivered. There's some great messages delivered in the Bible. Although I do want to get back to my sermon on the message not delivered, but there are great messages delivered in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen. He said, Adam, you can have everything in this garden that you might eat, but there's just one tree that's mine. You can have everything else, but that one belongs to me. Notice verse 17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know, we were mentioning in our 10 o'clock class that it is in the DNA of God to be truthful. It is impossible for God to not be truthful. It is impossible for God not only not to lie, but it's impossible for God to be deceived. It is in the DNA, in the character of God, to be faithful. And He is faithful to us, isn't He? He is faithful to us. And so, boy, did this message ever come true. In the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Boy, isn't that the truth? And as soon as they partook of that forbidden fruit, they realized that, number one, they didn't have clothes on and they were ashamed. Number two, they were afraid of facing God and they hid from Him. The man's been hiding from God ever since. Amen? But thank God He has come out of His place and come down to us. Thank God He took the initiative to go reach Adam and Eve while they were in darkness. He took the initiative to speak to them and to make things right. But notice in the DNA now of the Adams family, they start making excuses. They never made an excuse in their whole life until they disobeyed God. Notice verse 12 of chapter 3 of Genesis. And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Lord, it's your fault. I was doing just fine alone, and it's that woman, the only one in the whole universe that you gave me. Isn't that like human nature? It is, isn't it? It's her fault. She did it. She gave it to me. I didn't want it. She gave it to me. I was perfectly content not to have it. And she kept picking it, picking it, picking it. I said, oh, we're over. Finally, I just said, all right, Eve, all right, I'll eat it. I'll eat it. I don't want to, but I'll eat it. And he thought that that was going to hold up in court. We think our excuses are pretty good too sometimes, till we bring them to the light of God's word. Amen. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent, he's the one, he beguiled me, and I did eat. It's that snake, that talking snake. I blame him. You know, we're all responsible for the choices we make in life. Amen. Until we come to the realization of that, you know, we are really keeping ourselves behind the eight ball in our life. You can go your whole life and blame others. You can blame your parents. You can blame your teachers. You can blame a person or many people. But God delivered to Adam that message. And the day that you eat of that, you shall surely die. Last week, I was driving around with some of my grandchildren. I took them to the train show in Karlstadt. I try to do that every year. And we passed the cemetery. Carter, how old is Carter?
Six.
He's explaining to his brother, his older brother, not, you know, Cole is a little bit older, and he's explaining to Abigail, who's a little younger, what the cemetery is for. He's very knowledgeable in these things. And we're going past the cemetery, and Abigail says, look, look. Carter starts explaining. He says, that's where you go when you die. Oh. And when you go there, they put you in the ground. Abigail says, oh. And Carter says, and when they put you in the ground, you go either up to heaven or you go down, down, down. And they're looking at him and they said, yeah, that's right. And I said, Carter, what's the name of that place that you go down, down, down? He said, you know, kids are brighter than we give them credit for. He told us more in that couple statements that some people in university still haven't figured out. Amen? Out of the mouth of babes. But in any event, pretty smart kid. The message that God gave to Adam was delivered. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And death has been reigning ever since. Then there was a message delivered that God gave to Noah in Genesis chapter 6. That was delivered. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 through 8. And God saw the wickedness. Now keep in mind that the second coming of Christ is comparable to the days prior to the flood. There will be many similarities. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the second coming of the Son of Man. And so cultures are going to be kind of the same as far as the depravity of man and the rampantness of sin. Notice verses 5 through 8. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Sound like today? And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sound like today? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Thank God for verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And Noah was told to build an ark. Noah was told to build this great huge ship for the saving of himself and his family and animals. And for 120 years, him and his family faithfully worked on that ship. And while they're working, they're witnessing. And while they're working, he's preaching. And he's telling people that God is going to destroy the world and that God is going to bring a great flood. And keep in mind, it had never even rained up until then. Never rained. They didn't know what the word rain meant or was. And this was built in an area not near any body of water. And so how ridiculous this must have looked to the world around them and the then world. It must have been one of the great wonders of the world at that time to go by there and to be entertained by this family. And for 120 years, the only converts that he made were his own family. But thank God his family made it. Amen? Amen. And that's a great promise for all of us. But they laughed at him right up until the great flood came and everyone perished. But what a message. So many have never really heard about in our generation. 35 million people claim no religion. Many of them never even darkened a church building, never sat in a Sunday school class. And that's sad. You know, in our Sunday school, we teach the children all the Bible stories. Amen. Teach them about Adam and Eve. Teach them about Noah. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them about all the stories in the Bible. And we bring them to Sunday school and tell them all of these true stories recorded in the Bible. You know, I feel sorry for folks that are too lazy to go to church, bring their children to church. They're missing so much, aren't they? But this message that God delivered unto Noah was accepted. And Noah believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he started working on that ship and started serving the Lord. It would have been easy for him to just not do it, but he believed. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Like you look at Exodus chapter 10, also thinking about some messages that were delivered as compared to the one this morning that I do want to get to that was not delivered. Exodus chapter 10 and verses 3 and 4. And Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast. Pharaoh, the great Pharaoh, ruled the known world at that time. And God's message concerning the children of Israel was to let them go. And so Moses delivered that message to the great Pharaoh and said, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Pharaoh in this story is a picture of Satan. Satan does not want God's children to serve him. Satan does not want God's children to serve him. And Pharaoh started making compromises to Moses, as Satan will make compromises with you. And Pharaoh said, all right, I'll let you go and serve the Lord, but don't go too far. You can go a couple days journey out, but don't go too far. And I'll let you go, but leave the children behind. You know, he says that today also to God's people. It's all right if you want to go to church, just don't bring the family. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't he say that to you? Doesn't he tempt you to do that sometimes? All right. It's all right. I know you're saved. You can't be lost. I can't steal your soul. I get the point. You can serve the Lord, but don't serve Him with your money. That's exactly, you read the story. It said, leave your cattle behind. Go out in the wilderness, worship, come on back. That's just like the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Making compromises. Instead of God's people just saying, you know what? I'm going to serve God no matter what. With my whole family, with my resources, with my time and energy. That message to Pharaoh was delivered by Moses. Boy, I tell you, our church would really be blessed if we really took to heart this message of serving Christ individually.
Amen.
Without making the compromises that the devil wants us to make. You know, Egypt has never recovered from those plagues. They're in the news, but they're not the world power they once were, are they? I think of messages delivered. Isaiah, the prophet, delivered messages about the prophecies of Christ to earth. All of them have come true. I also think of the messages of the angels to this earth. We'll talk about that tonight when we have our devotion before we're dismissed after the dinner. Great messages, all of them delivered by the angels. But this morning, I'd like you to notice very briefly a few things in Luke chapter 16 about this message that was recorded but never delivered. First of all, the Bible says it was a certain rich man, verse 27. Now, it's not a sin to be rich. I want to tell you that right now. If you obtain your wealth legally and morally, it's not wrong to be rich and honestly. But the Bible does say that we are not to trust in riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, talks a little bit about our attitude towards riches. 1 Timothy 6:17. I'll just read it to you. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us freely all things, what? To enjoy. Paul saying to young Timothy, young preacher, you charge those that you see that are rich, that they don't put their trust in their riches. And let them realize that I give them freely all things to enjoy. And I can easily take them away. But in any event, we're not to trust in the material things. People can steal them. We can lose them. They can rust. They can break. Nothing more frustrating than two things to me. Something I can't find. The more you try to find it, the more frustrated you get. Amen?
Amen?
I've got an app now that tells me where my phone is. Pretty amazing. At least it tells me, you know, what town it's in. If I leave it at the office or leave it at home. And losing something or breaking something. It frustrates me to no end. But in Matthew 6:20, Jesus is talking about this subject. And he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And that's the right attitude we ought to have towards riches or material things. To lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. You know, if you've been blessed this year, I hope you'll think about doing something very special for the Lord and His church this month, that we'd have just a really good offering for the Lord. After all, it's His birthday we celebrate. Amen? And so, in any event, we notice the person who sent it, this rich man. We notice the place from which he sent this message in Luke 16:23. He sends this message of all places from hell. You know, newer translations of the Bible replace this word hell as often as they can. Now, I'll tell you the reason for that. The reason for that is, I suspect, is because Satan doesn't want people to know about it. Amen? He doesn't want people to think about the subject. But our Bible says that hell was created by God for the devil and his angels. It is not God's will for man to go there. But if he follows Satan, that's where he goes. There's only two roads in life. Jesus said there's a broad road that leads to destruction and many are on it. Then there's the narrow road that leads to life and few there be that find it. And then he said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But we notice this message that was recorded and never delivered, the person who sent it, the place from which it was sent. And we also notice number three, we see the punishment that caused him to want to send this message. In Luke 16, he says that in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. You know, so many people today joke about hell. How many of you ever heard someone say, well, yeah, I'm going there and I'm going to just party with my friends? You've heard that, haven't you? I don't read that in the Bible, do you? As a matter of fact, I read just the opposite. He was not comforted. He was not having a good time with his friends. As a matter of fact, he was very uncomfortable and he was concerned that others were going to follow him there. The next thing we see about this message that was never delivered, you say, Pastor, why wasn't it delivered? Well, we'll get to that, but God is telling him that people won't believe it, even if someone came from this place. If they reject what God says in His Word, they're not going to believe an eyewitness. But in verse 26, we see the reason He wanted it sent. And the reason He wanted it sent was because that He had brothers. And verse 28, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place. And he also realized that there was no escaping this place. There was a great gulf between them. He could see the side of paradise that was pleasant. But he couldn't get there. And there was no way to escape and no way to get out. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. There's no purgatory in the Bible. You say, but Pastor, I've always been told that. I've been told a lot of things too. But saying and repeating something doesn't make it correct. It's not in the Bible. And when he found out there was no place, no way for him to get out, he became concerned. And yet, people say, can I pray for those that are already dead? It does no good to pray for the dead. Say, well, what if I went every day and prayed for someone who died? Or every day I lit candles for them. It's appointed unto man once to die. Our choices are made before death. Amen? Amen? And so, do your praying for people while they're alive. That's when it does some good. Share the gospel with them lovingly. The Bible says that today is always the day of salvation. Today is the only time. Now is the accepted time. Salvation is always mentioned in the terms of today. And the scripture says they will not be persuaded, even if one came from the dead. If they reject the preachers of their time, they will reject others as well. Notice also about this message, never delivered. He talks about having five brothers. That's a pretty crowded family he grew up in, isn't it? That's a lot of brothers to have lost. He says, send this message to my father's house. I have five brothers. You know, we should all be so concerned with our own brothers and sisters, shouldn't we? With our own family. He was saying, I do not want them to end up here. Please send someone to warn them. I believe if people in hell could speak to us this morning, do you know what they would say? They would say, do not come here. Amen? They would say, do not follow Satan. They would say, do not go down the broad, popular road that leads to destruction. They would say, accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. They would say, accept the free gift of God. They would say, do not come here. They would say, repent, turn around, go the other direction, and listen to God's word. We see the people this message was intended for. Five brothers. That's a lot of lost people in one family. You know, you can't start early enough in training your own children. Our oldest, Lori, she was less than a week old when she was in the church nursery. I think she was about a week old. That's about it. And she didn't miss church for health reasons for a long time. She had a real good record. We came to church as a family. We made up our mind that we would all come together. No debates in the morning. Should I? Shouldn't I? None of that. It was just a priority. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the determination we need in our homes. Amen? Amen. It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. Amen. No discussion, no debate. We're going. Get ready. Get dressed. Let's go. And that's the attitude we had. God has blessed us. But notice the purpose of recording this message. The reason God included it in Scripture is that so man would repent and turn and start their journey towards Him. And even though this message was never delivered, in a sense, it's delivered to us. We could be a blessing to family members of those that are there now. We could answer their prayer by witnessing to those around us. And we could be a blessing to our own families. In Acts chapter 17, if you'd like to turn there, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Amen. Yes, God has commanded all men everywhere today to turn around, turn back to God. And so the message that was never delivered and yet recorded, this message was given by a certain rich man. And it was sent from the place called, the Bible calls hell. And it was sent because of the punishment that he was enduring, and he didn't want others to be a part of it. And we see the reason it was sent, because he couldn't get out. He could not escape. And yet he saw the other side of paradise. In the Old Testament, paradise was divided into two places. There is the place for the redeemed, comfort, joy, bliss. And the other side was the place we call hell. And hell could see paradise. Paradise could see hell. When Jesus died, he went down to paradise. And he brought the saints from paradise and brought them with him to heaven. And so now paradise is in heaven, but hell is still there. And this man wanted his brothers to be delivered from this place. We don't know whatever happened to his family. We don't know if they heard the message from others or they continued to reject Moses and the prophets. We don't know that. But we do know that for 2,000 years, sermons have been preached on this subject, and it's done a lot of good for the church and also for those that are lost. I trust that all of you know the Lord as your Savior this morning. I know most of you. But maybe there's someone this morning that has never come to that point or accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Oh, don't leave today without settling it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask for your will to be done this morning. Thank you for reminding us of your faithfulness in the Word of God, for all the messages that you delivered to man. But Lord, this message was never delivered, yet recorded. But yet it does us good to think about this true story, to motivate us, to witness to those in our own family, to be better examples. And Lord, if there are any here this morning that know you but are on the wrong track, they're not serving you, they may be living a life that they know they shouldn't, I pray you help them to turn around before you discipline them. And Lord, if there be one here this morning who does not know you, may they open their heart to you this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder, is there anyone never accepted Jesus this morning as your Savior? Never settled it, never called on Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and life. You want to be remembered in prayer? Would you slip your hand up? I'll pray for you this morning. Anyone like that at all? Never done that. If you've done it once, you don't have to do it again. You can put your hand down and talk to the Lord right now. He's right where you are. And say, Lord, come into my heart. Come into my life. I'm turning around. I'm turning to you. Show me the way. Give me assurance. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder, any of God's people this morning say, Pastor, I don't really have the burden for souls I should have. I pray that God will help me to be a better witness in this coming new year especially. I want to be remembered in prayer. Can I see your hands, please? God bless all of you. Yes. God bless you. Yes. God will help us. God will give us the boldness that we need. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for your mercies and your faithfulness to us. We ask, Lord, that you'd have your will and way this morning in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymn book, please. Let's turn to 562. 562, and let's stand together as we sing a hymn. 562, if you'd like to come this morning and pray at our altar for any reason or any purpose, please feel free to come. This is God's invitation. He's dealing with your heart. Would you come this morning? 562. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark lot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. This morning, your phone comes, we will close the invitation. God is speaking to your heart about anything. Would you come and settle it with Him this morning as we sing the last verse? Just as I am. Thank you. Garcia.
Ilya.
Alexandria Garcia, daughter of Ileana. You want to turn around, face up the wall? Now, can you sit down on the step here? Easy. There you go. Hold your arms like that. Alexandria, do you know Jesus as your Savior? You've accepted Him? All right. Ileana, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You're buried in the likeness of His death. Let's go backwards. Raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Soul winner. She's been saved about a month and a half. Brought her daughter to the Lord. You know there's still room in here for more. As a matter of fact, Paul said it is done as the Lord has commanded, and yet there is room. And so maybe if someone here hasn't made that decision, you've been saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized, I wholeheartedly encourage you to do so. Now tonight, 5 o'clock, I'm going to ask you to pose for a picture. When you come in, two of our teenagers are going to greet you at the door, and they're going to walk you into the auditorium, and I'll be here to take your picture, and then you can go downstairs and be seated for the dinner, all right? All right? Well, let's be dismissed in prayer, and hope to see you back tonight at 5 o'clock, those of you that signed up and that can make it. If you didn't sign up and you can still make it, you can come. We'll make room for everybody. The Lord will provide, all right? Let's be dismissed in prayer, and I'm going to ask Henry Verhey, would you dismiss us, please?